From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
Billy Nomi, thank you so much for joining us at iAfrican, the fifth deep learning endeavor. How many have you attended so far?
This is my third one.
This is your third one. What was your first one?
First one was a bit Johannesburg.
Okay, the very first one, 2017, yes. Yeah, and then after that?
I think I missed the Nairobi one, I missed the Stellenbosch one, and then...
Tunisia.
Yeah.
How was Tunisia?
Hot.
Was it really? Well, hotter than Ghana?
Hotter.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it summertime? Was it rainy season? I don't know. The picture.
And one day I made the mistake of putting on moisturizer because in Joburg you have to put on moisturizer. Within 10 minutes,
I just
sweated it all off.
You were melting.
Yeah.
Bill Nomi, thank you so much for joining us. I think the Ghana one has been beautiful. I love the University of Ghana. Humid, but I love the heat. I like being warm. I'd rather be warm than cold.
This is true.
Yeah, I'd rather be warm than cold.
Also, the sun has been hiding behind the clouds.
Yes.
It hasn't been like
in your face. Yes.
Pillow Nomi,
give me a defining moment or experience in your journey that led you to your passion for data science and AI.
When was the moment? I mean, to be honest, I was studying biomedical engineering.
Okay.
And I was fascinated by brains. I thought brains were really cool because they're a bit confusing.
The human brain, that is.
Yeah. Okay. Although you don't really get to work on them, I understand. But then went into electrical engineering and had an opportunity to do an internship at the CSIR. And I wanted to learn about what research for industry might look like.
Yes.
And I ended up in this research unit, the Maraca unit. Vukosi had a parallel unit on the defense side. And I ended up in a data science program. And I think that program just changed everything because it was a sudden realization of what all of this was and what all of it could mean. It wasn't very popular at that point, so it was also something quite new. And just being a part of that program, I was like, there's nothing else.
I found this very interesting. You have sort of interdisciplinary skills. I mean, engineering, data science. How does that enable you to sort of, solve problems?
Yeah, I'm super grateful for my engineering training.
Okay.
I think like...
there's a common theme. All great minds are like engineers. I think Elon Musk, Peter Nomi, CEO of Lelapa AI. Like, what's going on with engineering, guys?
I am biased. But I think it's because it teaches you the systems thinking.
Yeah.
So firstly, everything moves into everything else, which means you learn the capacity to hold a lot in your brain all at once to see the bigger picture, but also to understand how the details contribute to that bigger picture.
Okay.
And then, I have no idea what your background is. I don't know what your training has been like, but engineering school, they basically throw you in the deep end and you're like, I can't swim. And they're like, oh, what's swimming? You know, like they don't give you any answers.
Okay.
We would do past papers, and there was no memo for the past paper.
Wow.
Nobody knew what the right answer was.
Nobody knew what the right answer is.
So everybody had to try, and then we had to figure it out together. And I mean, that's what life is like.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what the right answer is.
Yes.
And so you're trained to figure it out, be confident in what you find, and make sure that your methodology to get there is something that is useful. And I think that's why engineers do so well in whatever domain they get thrown into.
I mean, my background is in law.
Mm.
I think law teaches you how to be analytical and strategy and understand how society is constructed because you understand, acts of parliament, how does that intersect with national, provincial, local government, but you also understand sort of, private law of delict, when somebody has done a wrongful conduct to you. You understand things like family law, contracts, property.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really gives you a good snapshot of society.
Yeah.
And with that, public resource, because when you think about the law is a public resource.
Mm.
So we just take that, public resource and then we monetize it to help other people, push their interests. And so it's a very interesting degree.
Yeah.
But I think it's more from really strategy. Yeah.
I mean, in our case, as a startup, we've very much depended on lawyers. And when you talk about it being like an understanding of the of human society, it makes absolute sense because we are completely unprepared for like these little intricacies that are written into the T's and C's of life. And the lawyers seem to have it down. So that, that makes sense.
I'm going to come back to that one of what Lelapa rely on lawyers for, or that sort of the legal aspect of, you know, what you guys do in AI. But Nomi, first of all, you got to explain this to me because when I was reading your biography on LinkedIn, I couldn't understand this. you went to Japan to study CRNN in neurophysiology.
Yeah.
What is CRNN?
So CRNN and blah, 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 whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at abbreviations, but it was neural networks.
Okay.
So vision neural networks. Uh-huh. But ones that are able to understand the context of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically video processing in order to be able to segment brain cells in an image video, in an image.
Oh, okay.
So when your brain cells are excited because they're doing something, you can make them appear more bright in a video when they're active.
Okay.
So basically, it's like these white
dots. It's visualizing what's happening in the brain.
Exactly, and then you can understand certain mechanisms of how the brain works.
Okay.
When cells are healthy or behaving weirdly.
Okay.
And that has implications for diseases like Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's disease and things like that.
And how is that visualized? Through a graphic interface or a graph? Like how does that visualization come through?
Yeah, so this one, they inject the cells with a dye. It's actually a slice of a brain. So it wasn't a human brain. It was little mousy brains.
Okay.
But they inject it with a dye that fluoresces, that glows.
Uh-huh.
When there's a particular change in potential in the cell. So when the cell becomes more negative or positive because there's activity, like electricity flowing into the cell, then it glows. And then you're able to pick up that glowing in a microscopic camera.
Okay.
But then you have hundreds of cells in this picture, and they need to study each cell, how much it glows. But they have to go physically, manually circle each cell in order to do that. So I developed something that was able to do it automatically through machine learning.
Yeah. So now, how does your master's in that connect with AI and machine learning? Because that was good.
This is often the question I get, like, biomedical engineering, and then you went to a bank. and I guess it's also this thing about like the engineering knowledge and the engineering way of learning. I think a lot of people think that going to school is so that you can learn maths, so that you can learn your ABCs, but I'm a strong believer that you go into educational systems to learn how to learn, and to learn how to apply that apply what you've learned to
real-world scenarios.
Exactly. So using a neural network in identifying glowing cells in a brain slice, then went to the bank and used neural networks to detect fraud because the underlying technology is kind of similar. The application to which you apply it can be different.
Okay.
But you're learning the tool. You're not learning the outcome.
And
I think data science is quite cool in that way where you cannot act in isolation because you're always acting in service of somebody else who needs to see or 100%. Do or decide. And so you learn the tools, and then you become the tool that implements the tool to help people do what they need to do.
Similar to law. Law is a tool. You just apply it in different settings.
Exactly.
In private, in criminal, in medicine.
Exactly. And then you go into a particular industry, 100%. And now all of a sudden you have to be a engineering expert because you're doing engineering contracts.
Makes sense. Okay, so now, as Lelapa CEO, Lelapa AI, what challenge is Lelapa AI addressing in Africa?
Yeah, I'm lucky that just before this, I was filling in an accelerator program application, so I have my answer ready.
Yeah, your answer ready. You have to type in your 200-word essay, like, okay, I got it.
Yeah. So the problem that we're trying to solve really is that language is a main issue in terms of digital divide.
Okay.
Language is a barrier that prevents hundreds of millions of Africans from accessing digital products and services, and we're aiming to bridge that gap by enabling businesses with the power of language.
Would I be right to say that your partners in Lelapa AI, the executive board, and your other founders, co-founders, you met at Deep Learning Indaba?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
2017.
Tell us about that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of met some of them. Vukosi I knew from before, from the CSIR. Jade I met because she was was one of the other women who was like really doing things at the deep learning in Durban. She also organized the closing party, which was a really
good legendary.
Yeah.
I can attest. The opening party was legendary. I hope this year's Ghanaian one is legendary. Also,
it should be. And the music should be fire.
Yeah.
And so I then became acquainted with her after that, after meeting her there. I think George, the other co-founder, he doesn't remember it, but he came past to judge my poster.
Okay.
I thought my poster had a really cool name because it was like using neural networks to understand neural networks. Like, anyway.
You were too far ahead. You couldn't see the vision.
Now we're
AI now, you know what I mean?
met Benji at that stage, but they were still these big, impressive people.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, 5 years later, here we are. I think some of them already knew each other. But Jay definitely met the rest of them at the Deep Learning Indaba. It's incredible what this thing has done.
100%. I mean, we had Prof Vukosi earlier on in the year, you know, speaking about the good work. You've raised some good funding. What are you currently busy with? What are the cool projects that Lelapa AI is currently doing?
I mean, Lelapa has dreams of taking over the world. I mean, no, not really. Because, I mean, what do we know what the world really wants? But we do have bigger visions to expand into other domains.
Okay.
But you've got to start step by step. So we've 100%. Started with language, of course, because it's a natural avenue, thanks to the work that Jade and Vukosi have done, for example. It's very well established research field, thanks to the work that they've done. So productionalizing that is an easier step. And of course, language is this general technology that affects everybody and everything. So it's a really good place to start. And with that language technology, we have a product called Vula Vula that we're working on. And Vula Vula is our way of enabling businesses to engage with their customers. And there's two main spheres that we're working on at the moment. So the first one is transcription. So that's being able to take voice into text. And the other one is to enable chat applications to pick up on the features within language that are needed to process information. So for example, when you are chatting to a chat but and you want to make a payment to somebody, for example, if you're like, I want to pay this person this amount. At the moment, for example, NER technology, so named entity recognition, doesn't recognize names. So if you're trying to pay someone, they won't recognize who you're trying to pay. Unless it's like some other kind of system that's able to do it. I mean, that's a very general example of what we're trying to do, but that's the technology we're developing in order to enable those kinds of services.
Benomi, put on your CEO hat for me. Engineering, data science, fine, research, but now you're in business. How's that shift been?
Same.
Running a company, payroll, hiring and firing.
Just like signing on to things and then sitting and be like, oh, wait.
Hiring and firing, talking, you know, updates, investors. Like, how is that?
The legal side, I'm very glad that we have a legal team because I'm not a document reader. I've had to become a document reader. The business side, I think I had some training at the bank. And also I'm just a person who's driven by things coming out of an efficient process, you know. So for me, it makes sense that this thing needs to make money. I'm not a person who wants to make money. I'm a person who wants this thing to survive and do well. And 100%. I know that in order to do that, it needs to make money. So we've made decisions like making sure we're producing a product rather than trying to be a service provider 100%. Of talent, for example. So those are some of the decisions there we've made. And I'm actually quite interested about that stuff because, which I never used. but business is really a social science, you know, 100%. Like understanding what people want, what they need and figuring out how to provide them that in a way that is sustainable and long-term and approaching the problems in the world that you want to do it. So that bit's fun. Legal part, not so much.
Not so much, yeah.
Finances, I'm lucky. I like numbers, so that works out. I'm also very, what's the word, frugal.
Yeah, you have to be frugal.
So I think that is a useful skill to have, although I imagine it frustrates lots of people, and hopefully I won't have to be frugal forever within the business context. Business engagements, I'm not very good at that yet. So in terms of finding clients, speaking to people, I've had to learn ideally I would just hide in my bed and not go anywhere, not talk to people.
Just send emails. dish out emails. Hey guys, what's the update? What's the reports?
Will you call this person? Me? Call? What are you saying? Yeah. So I'm having to grow a lot and learn a lot, and it's quite exciting. I know it won't be forever, but I'm just really passionate about this thing of doing what we wanted to do, and that's what wakes me up like in the morning to keep me going and get the team going.
So the Ndaba, I mean, on the conversation of talent, the Ndaba, I mean, there's a lot of attendees, a lot of aspiring AI students, researchers, scholars.
Yeah.
Is it a good sort of, you know, pool to, you know, hire new talent for Lapa AI?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The best of the best come here from the African continent. We are also specifically, like, part of why we were built was to retain talent on the continent and to have those people work on our problems. I think Africa is facing an absolute crisis of our most talented and brilliant minds going off to solve other people's problems. And I think it's the most unfortunate thing, because not only are they then like taking that juice away from the machine that is here on the continent trying to make things better, but they land up in those foreign areas where they're constantly having to prove their worth and qualify why they're meaningful and should exist in the world, and it just like drains their energy in other ways. And I think it's such an unfortunate thing. So coming to a place like the Ndaba and being able to offer people an opportunity to like stay, you know, stay here, be well funded, not have to compromise on your quality of life, because I mean, Africa's a place of struggle, you know, and you don't want people to have to sacrifice not struggling in order to work on something they care about. So this is a perfect place to find people, perfect place to find talented people, and perfect place to find people who care about Africa, 100%. Which is what we're looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nigerian or Ghanaian jollof?
I was at
choose your words very kindly. Because, you know, there's a competition going on here. And by the end of the Ndaba, we need to know Ghanaian or Nigerian jollof.
I was at a restaurant the other day, and the Ghanaian at the restaurant who's serving the jollof was like, no, it's not Ghanaian jollof. So I was like, Nigerian jollof? And he was like, what did you just say? I've never been to Nigeria, so I cannot fully
compare the two.
I've only had Nigerian jollof in Japan, for example.
Okay.
Because I had some Nigerian friends there, or in Joburg.
Okay.
So not quite fair. But I really like the texture of Ghanaian jollof.
Yeah.
The like chewy.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Same. Apparently, Nigerian jollof is more spicier.
And maybe more tomato. I don't know. From what I've seen on the internet, the way it looks is more red. I don't know.
Pranomi, thank you so much for coming to iAfrican. It's been a blast. University of Ghana, very interesting. Love the space. Massive university. Where to from now from Lapa AI for you? What cool projects are you working on? Research?
We're trying to find the balance between understanding new ways to research and new ways to do, and then doing the thing. Like for me, I'm quite passionate about understanding ways in which how Africans operate can inform the research that we produce. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we're looking into, you know, given that African language is often an oral tradition, it's an oral heritage. How can we pay less attention to text, for example? Can we do voice to voice? What kind of things can we do with voice, considering that we aren't a reading people, you know? And exploring those kinds of things for me is quite cool and quite exciting. How can we make models smaller and smarter due to the resource inefficiency environments that we have on the continent and the wastefulness of people outside of it? Those are really fun things to explore, but at the same time, we're really just working on getting this thing right. I think we feel a huge responsibility to make this thing succeed, you know? We do know that a lot of people are looking to us, wishing for our success, but also quite dependent on it doing well, as evidence of things.
100%.
Being able to go well.
I mean, to explore needs finances. Are you currently looking for another... to raise more money and raise more funding?
We should always be looking for more funding. This is what I've been told. I'm like, no, I don't want to focus on that. We've got to do the thing. But
I mean, with the previous funding, where did you deploy the funds?
Yeah, so I think because of the incredible work of my co-founders and the reputation that they have, our funding journey was an exceptionally strange one.
Okay. I mean, take us through the journey. because it's important to understand from an AI, but how do you go about, because there's not a lot of AI startups, and I mean, everybody looks up to Lapa AI.
Totally.
Yeah.
So we got a large angel investment from Jeff Dean, and that was through a personal private connection that we had made actually through the deep learning endeavor.
Beautiful.
And that was a main Kickstarter into the rest of our funding journey, because we could be like, hey, Jeff invested, what about you guys? Which is definitely not an option for every African startup, right? So off the bat there, it's a different journey. From there, we then had connections with some VCs, some of which you then ended up not investing because we didn't have our stuff together, actually, when we were asking people for money.
It's a learning process.
Yep. And those, again, were through private connections. Okay. And then in addition to that, we managed to get some grants from Microsoft, for example. Okay. We have a lot of Azure credits and Amazon credits, which computation-wise means that it's a cost we don't have to worry about for a little while. And yeah, apart from that, I mean, my guidance with regards to the funding journey is to see funding not as just money, you know. You can get mentorship, that's a form of funding. You 100%. Can get grants for compute credits, that's a source of funding. You can get an accelerator program where they send you for training and development in certain areas of your business, that's also funding. But apart from that, I'm going to plug dear friend of mine has developed a platform called Vula VC.
Okay.
And that's a platform that links you to funding based off of your stuff.
Specifically for artificial intelligence?
Tech,
or general tech?
Yeah. So that's a place to go. But yeah, other than that, I'm just going to wish everybody well. Send out
Look,
positive
I mean, vibes. What you're saying is very, you remind us. So last night we had the Google DeepMind event. And one of the panelists was, I think it was Nando de Freitas.
Yeah, Nando.
The research
scientist. He was also at the first endeavor,
And then he said something very, very important. He was like, outside of the research and the beautiful work we do, it's really about your community and network.
Yeah.
You should spend a lot of time on that. And as you're, you know, breaking down your, you know, funding journey, that is the key thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really the network, really building a strong network in order to tap into, you know, some of those opportunities.
And I think a lot of the time people think network is about having that transactional relationship. But most of the time it's just speaking to people, knowing to people, and then, 5-10 years down the line. I mean, one of our investors was a school friend of like a high school friend of one of our co-founders.
Wow.
So maybe it's 5 years, it's 10 years, it's 20 years down the line. You can then be like, actually, I do know this person and I'm going to reach out. Which is something I've had to learn because, like I said, I would rather be hiding at home than I do that.
Belonomi, thank you so much. We're rooting for you as iAfrican. We always, I mean, Lelapa AI is a friend of, you know, iAfrican by now. We've had, you know, two co-founders now, you and Prof. Vukosi. So we're definitely rooting for you. And yeah, thank you for coming on iAfrican.
It's been an absolute pleasure and thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creative, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.